Tony Date for Emerge the Chof Aleph Adar Tov Shin Pei, Rabbi David Kestenbaum.
I hope the Skype is on. Yeah? On. Yeah. The reason why the Skype needs to be on is because I hope there's many people not in attendance of this shiur, okay? And they should be following shiurim with Skype or with other means. We'll discuss that. We'll come to that. The topic of the shiur is end-of-life issues. That was pre-scheduled, and obviously we're going to touch on the subject of avoiding end-of-life issues in the first place. All right? So, Mitzchem, v'siyat d'shmai. Also, I want to make the following observation. Since my childhood, which wasn't very long ago, but here's the observation. One time, not so long ago, one used to get rid of a car when it rusted through. When the bodywork was finished, the car was dead. Everything else could be changed, but the bodywork, that was likuva. No one reports good news. The good news, though, is that cars no longer rust, in case you didn't notice. So when do you get rid of a car? Huh? You keep changing every part, really. That's how airplanes work. They keep just recycling. Yeah? There it is, a new model. Yeah, time for the new model, out with the old. All right? I think Dailam cups the marshal of that. By the way, there's other pieces of good news which I'll share with you. One is that they no longer tell people, children, that they have to save their food for the starving populations in different parts of the world. There's much more food in the world than there used to be 50 years ago. Much, much more food, many, many times more food. And there's a few reasons for it advances. One of them, for curiosity, is an increased level of carbon dioxide and greenhouse effect in the world, which has made more rain in the Sahara region and the crops grow a bit more. It's not the only reason. It's just interesting that people don't report on the good news. The real good news, which we owe a debt of Hakar Satay for, is Chazdei Hashem Yisparach Shemai, people live longer. People live longer and they live healthier. Many of us, most of us, do not have much recollection of great-grandparents. And grandparents were exceedingly elderly and stately gentlemen, yeah? And now they're younger light, ki yidua. Yeah? Is that a huge change, yeah, which the world is grappling with and has a lot to do with our topic? Yeah? What does the world do with an aging population, and at what time is it time to call it a day? It's part of the culture change that the world has. We have the source that we can retire to. We can retire to extra learning. We can retire to family in Einiklich, Mirz Hashem, Simchas. Yeah. The world doesn't have the same options, and they're grappling with it. That's a part of the subculture which affects these topics. The first thing is, whenever there's these issues, we have to realize we have to be mechazik ourselves in the akaras hatoiv, the people live longer. A part of halal is on Hashem Yishiyano, we give halal, and then we say, Rebbein Hashem, give us more opportunities for halal, on Hashem Yishiyano, on Hashem Atzlichano, give us more gelegenheits for halal. So when discussing end-of-life issues and coronavirus, whatever it might be, the first thing is we have to be makitoi for the fact that we zeich etzake to gesund and eriches yomim, and so it should be further, Mirz Hashem. In Texas is the state which has a wall being built on its southern border as opposed to its northern border, and that's a piece of history about the Lone Star State. In Texas, 2 years ago, approx, there was the following case. Father was phoned up. Your son, the boy was 13 years old, has been determined to be brain dead. We will be switching off the support systems, and we're inviting the family and therefore to say their goodbyes. Yeah? I was informed of such a session locally, which was scheduled to take place before the last time we met, and Chazdi Hashem Yisbarach, that particular patient, now has eye contact, who is moving, is definitively not brain dead, just had a peg put in, and needs some rehab, a lot of rehab. I'm not saying he's well. Yeah. But brain dead, we'll get to this topic, but he was declared brain dead. It's relevant for organ opt-in and opt-out, yeah, is their definition of brain dead has much to be desired, yeah, let alone whether brain dead has any halachic or what halachic ramifications. Anyway, back to our story. In Texas, this father was phoned up, please come in, 13-year-old boy, brain dead, they'll be disconnecting the machines. In Texas style, the father showed up with his shotgun, yeah, and said, no one's switching off this machine. He barricaded himself in the ward, in the room, yeah, and stood guard with his gun. That treatment continues. Yeah. 2 weeks later, the father walked his son out of the hospital. As they left the hospital, the father was arrested. He stood trial. The judge ruled on the case. We're talking about the United States of America. The judge ruled on the case that, in view of the fact that a parent has some parental intuition about his child's condition, and in view of the fact that the father perceived this as a question of self-protection, therefore one has to be understanding of his act, and therefore he was acquitted. Kach, the ruling, Texas, 2 years ago. Sorry?
What was the actual charge?
Holding up the staff at gunpoint. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. So the halachic question for us, yeah, obviously, is there's a din of a reidif. Yeah. They want to switch off a machine. Yeah. We're handling a shaila from a chiyuv of hatzalas hainedif, the obligation to protect someone whose life is threatened. Yeah. And as we discussed in the last shiur, on that we have an interesting Yerushalmi in Tafchavav and Shulchan Aruch down the Nisa Kalim, whether a person has to risk his life to save another person's life, to what degree does he risk his life, is there din machlokes achronim b'kiva ega, others, whether a person has to give away kol mamona, all of his money, for the protection of another person's life, to what degree does this din of listamad dam riecho go? We mentioned the shayla as well, brought in the poskim there, that a community has to raise money to prosecute against a potential murderer, even if they know they'll lose the case, so the blood of Klal Yisrael shouldn't be hefka. That's relevant in how to judge legal proceedings which affect end-of-life issues. We discussed in the last year as well the fact that the halacha is that really you cannot have an akum, a non-Jew, to be a doctor for a Jew. You're only if it's a case of chayei shor, means limited life, and potential for chayei oilam. That's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Paskin Shulchan Aruch, Paskin Rambam, Ki Yiduah. And the only heter really is based on mirsus, the fact that there's some incentive, disincentive, that the professionals are concerned for their professional standing. And that's obviously very questionable in today's society in many different settings. So there's many aspects which have to be kept in mind. One more story, and we'll go on to some practical points. Louisiana, St. Louis, 1993. Major storm. Do you remember the name of the storm? Sorry, Katrina? Thank you. Katrina. Katrina, major storm, flooding. Yeah. The hospital was flooded in the basement. The hospital was closed, no electricity. They helicoptered, whatever the right word is for that. Yeah. They flew out. Sorry, airlifted. Okay, thank you. They airlifted. Sorry? All right. In Yiddish, helicoptered, all right? Otterzee, yeah, yeah. yeah, fire helicopters. Yeah, there. That, now we got it. Yeah, is the heli? They took out the patients, yeah, and there were lots of patients, though, we'll hear a relevant point, who had a do not resuscitate order on these patients. The do not resuscitate means, legally, yeah, if someone dies, whatever the definition of death is, do not resuscitate. It doesn't mean more. We mentioned the last year that there's a lot of evidence, it's established evidence, not just stories, it's properly been professionally researched, that someone with a do not resuscitate is less likely to receive other treatments like antibiotic. Those are statistical facts. Whatever it might mean legally, in practice, it's proven that it affects treatment. In the Katrina storm, the patients who had do not resuscitate were not removed. When they evacuated the hospital, they had a dilemma. What to do with these patients who they cannot remove? Maybe some of them actually couldn't be removed. The doctor ordered that they should be given a lethal injection, and the patients were killed. It went to court eventually, and the court ruled, in view of the fact that these patients could no longer receive treatment, it was correct. Now let's understand. One could have rigged up these patients with as much drips as possible. One could have left them and seen what happens. Who knows what will be tomorrow? Yeah. You could airlift, or for helicopter, yeah, someone back into the hospital, yeah, on a daily basis to replace. And yes, people probably will die. Yeah. Does that mean that you can kill them? Yeah. We have the case in the Gemara of a woman who's dying in childbirth, and we have the opportunity to save the child's life, we mentioned, by cutting open, doing a C-section, where the Ramos says we don't do it because we're worried that the woman isn't yet dead. Okay. Today, maybe we have ways that we could do it. Okay. Now, we have, as we mentioned in the last year, a lav called Le Sitzer, yeah, which is an overruling lav. Yeah. A mercy killing, because these people can no longer receive care, just doesn't go. Just doesn't add. Just doesn't add. Okay. I want to mention a few points on the subject of Redif. We'll come to, I know I said we'll deal with some of the practical questions as well, some of the definitions of terms. The din of Hatzala of a Nirdif, someone who's being oppressed from a Redif, comes with din. I'll mention one of them, with the relevance of Bein Hazmanim, which in some circles has begun a bit early. Yeah. And that is, sometimes it happens that people drive around in a dangerous manner. All right. So let's take a very local example. We have a downhill road over here, yeah, which lends itself to the opportunity for... There's a difference between someone endangering his own life and what the din of being a moiser on that is. For example, can one institute or ask the police to intervene if a child doesn't wear a safety helmet? And somebody who's endangering someone else's life. Not the same. I just want to make that point.
I'm speaking on mobiles about driving, reporting to the police.
That's the question. That's the question. So generally speaking, if one can stop somebody without reporting, that's the preferred action, obviously. But I personally called up a driver or family of a driver and say, either they need to know that this has stopped, yeah, or it will need to be reported. Right? That's a chiyuv ba'atzim of Hatzalas Hanirdif, yeah, even though the Redif doesn't have a particular Nirdif around. Relevant for us in the present situation, someone who feels that he isn't well or might not be well is obligated to take the precautions against possibly infecting others. All right? Yeah. It's a big topic. We're not going to do justice to the full topic now, but it's an important aspect to keep in mind. We'll mention one other point because of this time of year. When it comes to Pesach cleaning, the first aspect of Pesach cleaning is the mitzvah I'm reading from the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Dalet. V'chein kol michshol sheish preis takonis nefoshes, ev hilchus yitzeach. Mitzvah sasi is mitzvah sasi la siroi, to remove it, ulisham menin to God from it. Ulizor bedove yofe, yofe, shnei misham lechosh mei nafshecha. V'im lo yis, if he doesn't remove it, v'nech ha-michsholis, ha-mevina de iskani, leaves dangerous things which can bring, michsholis which can bring to danger, bitl mitzvah sasi, v'ovar aleisosim domim beveisecha. So if you want to know what mitzvah is being done with Pesach cleaning, yeah, which is always a debatable topic, yeah, but we're not going to go into that one now either. Yeah. But one mitzvah is this mitzvah, that there's no chemical cleaners around, the children are supervised, there's no boiling cauldrons of water in places where children could access them, etc. That's a mitzvah sase, which a person is busy with when he's involved in the mitzvahs hayyim. I'll mention another Rambam since we're here in Hilchus Yitzeach. The Rambam in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Hey, says, a person, v'cheinei yitn odem pas yodei tachas sachov, shema noga bi yodei b'mitzayra, or b'samrash, yidayim askonis. A person should be careful where he touches, Mufurish Rambam. It's not just Reb Kiva Eger in Michtovim. A person has to be careful where he touches, because a person may have touched a mitzvah and he may spread disease. All right? Rambam, have a look. Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Hey, the longer michtav from Rebbe Kiva Eger with his takonas of people sitting far apart and making sure to be well rested and eating well, and that they're not yetzer. The mitzvah to keep shayfa, if they haven't kept the takonas, is already yudua. It's also not for right now. I want to share one vart on the parasha, even though we'll get to the practical, some more practical aspects. Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Tezvav Mebeis, says that when you makadish azaris, you want to make holy Yerushalayim HaKodesh, or the azara of the Mikdash, you do something there which can't be done anywhere else. So let's say Yerushalayim HaKodesh, you bring a carbon taida, and at each corner you eat from the carbon taida. That's a way of showing that this is now Yerushalayim, extending the borders of Yerushalayim Ekreich. At the same time, you say a capital Tehillim, Yeshev Beseiser Elyon. That Gemara then asks a question about Yeshev Beseiser Elyon. Is it mutter to say it? It's called a Shir Shel Negoyim, Shir Shel Begoyim. It's a Shir which is said to protect against illness. The Gemara discusses, is it also to do that? You can't use Divrei Torah to heal yourself. Yeah. And when is it mutter to? The Gemara says, to protect yourself is mutter. If someone's sick, then it's also. The Gemara. Shua ben Levi. Yeah. A big tumult in the poskim, how this applies. Yeah. It's first of all, on that point, the chinuch in Parashas Shoftim on the lav of Chaveh, yeah, says that the lav includes isolating insects through soup or akrovim or mice with supernatural means, zosa, and to use, to say, divrei Torah for chayla. Ask the question, so why is it mutter lahogim? Yeah. So he says, it's mutter because you ma'ur yourself in limud to what the Tehillim is saying. Yeshua b'seisa elyo means we're living with a Rabbein Shem. We're living with a Rabbein Shem. You're living with the Rabbein Shem, you're protected. The chinuch is Mayachon, it's worth looking up. You're living with the Bashefa, is you're protected. That's the capital Tilim. Yeshu b'sisa elyoin, b'shel shada yisloinon, om la Hashem machsim stosi l'kei eftach boi, ku yitzulchim mepach yokush midev avoyis. This is the capital which protects from the goyim and pegoyim. Gemara in Shavuos, Tezvav and Beis, Gemara also in Sanhedrin. Yeah. And as the Sephardim says, interestingly, "B'sel shadi yisoinim b'alayla b'botik k'nisiyus u'midrashis l'hoven l'alhayrus." A person goes to protect himself in the base measure through the Torah. person lives with a bashefa. Rashi says, "Ki matzilchem pachyakush lechol echad ve'echad who aims to my every individual yesh b'sei selyoin." And Rashi brings psukim. Person lives in the shade b'tzilei chamadti v'yashavti. You live with a bashefa. Now we'll answer a question. Rashi in Shavuos Tezvav Mebeis quotes a Teres Kohen, which Rashi in our week's parashah says as well. That's why I'm mentioning it. In parashah's Pikudei, it says Moshe Rabbeinu gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael. What was the bracha? Yiratzon Shetisha, there should be Asherei Sashchina, and Vinoim. Says Rashi, that's the source of why you say this Kapitel Tehillim of Yoshev B'Seisa, because it's one of the Tehillim made by Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why you say it when you make the Azaris. Ask the Bach on the page, Goyse Bach Ois Beis, that's Vavon Beis in Shavuos. In that case, say Vinoim. You don't say Vinoim, only Yoshev B'Seisa. The answer is like this, Chayr. Yeshiv B'Seisa Elyon means we live with Hashem. There are two ways of living with Hashem. You can live with Hashem in the place, Yerushalayim HaKodesh, Lazar, Beis HaMikdash, and you can live with Rabbein Shem, every individual on his own. Vinoyim is the introduction to Yeshiv B'Seisa. And that's why Yeshiv B'Seisa is the Kapitel Tilim for being Mekadosh Lazarus, and it's also the Kapitel and the approach to being saved from Negoim Pegoim. Whatever the Ishnadlus is, Anova, Ben Adon Chaveir, Gemara and Erechin, whatever it might be, it's all part of coming to be living with the Rebbein Shalom. When you live with the Rebbein Shalom, you have a protection. Tayyar, whatever the Ishnadlus is, the Avodah is, Kol Yachid V'Yachid, everyone on their own, the bottom line is you're living in the good hands of the Rebbein Shalom. When you're in the hands of the Rebbein Shalom, there's a protection. Don't have that much time, so I'll say a vort based on this, though, which I said we would answer about a question of the right not to know. I said last time we would explain that concept. Is the Rambam there in Perek Yud Aleph, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Halacha Yud Aleph, when he talks about the issa of doing these things to protect someone's life, even, the pogrom, he says, but if there's a chayla mesukun, someone in great danger, you're allowed to. Yeah? So you shouldn't have tirif hadas, you shouldn't be upset. Rambam gives a reason you shouldn't be upset. The Rambam in Pirish Mishnayis, end of Yuma, says all these things are osa, because they don't do anything anyway, and you're not allowed to heal yourself with these methods. Yeah. But here the Rambam says it's muta because of tirif hadas. Tirif hadas, a person being disturbed, is real. Yeah. And that's life shortening. And we're obligated to be life extending. And that's the point we mentioned last time, that people have to protect a chayla from a bad diagnosis, so it shouldn't be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. That's the aspect that we mentioned last time, and that has now been changed in the legal environment. Yeah, I also mentioned that we would discuss some other points, so I'll just go through them briefly. When people are brought to hospital an end-of-life situation or emergency situation, a bit of knowledge in the medical, clinical, in the legal and halachic makes a huge difference. And the first thing to do is to realize that when you walk into a hospital, you're automatically disempowered by the atmosphere of the hospital. When you don't know, you don't know, so then you ask for time. If they come into hospital, the first thing is, not now. I don't have Yishuv Hadas to have a meeting about do not resuscitate. I have to speak to the family, I have to speak to my rabbi. Delay. Delaying tactic, very important. We mentioned this last time. Sometimes some clinical knowledge comes in very useful. So, for example, there's an obligation we discussed about chayi shor, short period of life, and chayi tsar. That's when it becomes heterim, when those two come together. What the gather is needs an individual shail at the time. But hydration, nutrition, and breathing needs to be supported. And sometimes with the knowledge, so the person can't eat, so will you be giving an ITP drip? That's a food supplement. Will you be giving a gastronasal tube? Have you considered giving a PEG? Subcutaneous, that means in an injection which only goes into the skin, into the fat. You can also give a lot of fluids. These things make a huge difference. And then they start discussing. I just want to point out that's not the same as outside interventions like noradrenaline, which protect the outer, bring the outer organs and cut the blood supply there and bring it to the inner organs, which is often life extending, which is an outside intervention. Halachically, not the same. And it's relevant if, Rahman al-San, someone does need to be, may well be dead, and what to do. One can often stop such treatments with rabbinic advice, and that will automatically lead to the collapse of the patient. Right? These things are put in individual sachets, and when they run out, it's a way of finishing, if you like, that the person that no longer lives on a respirator. A person shouldn't be concerned. I'm mentioning it specifically. Sometimes people are concerned if they're on a respirator or on life support, they're worried they'll be there forever. That's not the case. There are, without setting up time clocks or anything complicated, there are ways to manage these scenarios, loyalenum. But that's already a different level. But it needs to be aware, the hospital needs to be aware, that you're not facing a situation which this will be beyond what we wish. The buzzwords which are important to use, if using religion doesn't help much, and it's not a good idea anyway, a good word though is personal autonomy, means the legal position is changed from substitute to judge, what would the patient want, as opposed to best interest, what's in the best interest of the patient. Substitute to judgment means what would the patient himself have chosen. And by law, they have to take into account anyone who has an opinion to say on that, and they have to reach a consensus of opinion on that. And that's been very established in the court system, and that is the normal way to go about these matters. Personal autonomy is an important word. It means personal choice, substitute judgment, as opposed to best interest. The wonderful thing that we live in a society which has such a great appreciation for cultural diversity, which means you also respect us, right? If you use their language for our benefit. And they're very sensitive to the fact that grieving families need to be taken into account, and if it goes through the right process, these things help. Yes, yeah. Lasting power of attorney, So it's on the list. We're coming there. Yeah, no, that's great. Very well point to be put out. I want to mention 3 points still. One is a lasting power of attorney, a medical lasting power of attorney, is not the same as a financial lasting power of attorney. Needs to be put in place for any vulnerable patient. It costs money. It's not something which I think as a kahila wouldn't be a bad idea that's going to happen across the board. Yeah. But it's shocking to come across a patient, let's say, who has already cancer. Yeah. So we already know that he's at serious risk. Yeah. And then you have to deal with the legal medical issues. Yeah. And there's no lasting power of attorney. How did that happen? Yeah. As soon as someone is a vulnerable adult, which we could discuss what the parameters of that are, yeah, they need to be treated in a way which is individualized, which includes a lasting power of attorney, a medical one. That's very, very important. On that point, I'll mention one other point, because it's relevant right now. And so it's okay, another couple of minutes. No. Lasting power of, if anyone needs to leave, so just feel free. Yeah. 10 to. Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, lasting power of, I thought it was 22, sorry. Lasting power of attorney, individual vulnerable adults. I want to discuss a controversial topic, and that is the different approaches of different governments to the present crisis. I want to discuss it, though, in the reality of what is England. Okay? The reality is, and no one's asking my opinion, but there is an approach to it, that there's not that much that can be done. Okay. By the way, that doesn't excuse someone from the correct ishtadlus. Just want to clarify that. The halacha of ishtadlus means whatever is considered normal, and whatever would be put, Rebellia used to say, whatever would be done to protect a head of state, that is the obligation of a person to do. So I'll give you an example. A person is allowed to go in a car even without wearing a safety helmet. Well, I presume that if you're in a car and you wear a crash helmet, it's safer than without. It's probably even safer to go in a bus than in a car. But since it's normal, you may. Riding a bicycle requires a crash helmet. I'm not sure if that's such a safe activity in the first place. Yeah. But what is considered normal and wouldn't be prevented for a head of state is permitted. Right? It's an important rule. But normal precautions, even if they cannot resolve all of the issues, one must take. So, for example, currently, people must wash their hands. They must avoid congregating where not fully necessary. And they must take all of the precautions to protect themselves. And the first topic we discussed is protect others. We'll move on from that because the critical aspect is there's a difference between the public and the individual in this area. There are many vulnerable adults. I've had many interesting shailas which are hard to get one's head around and people are only just beginning to realize. Obviously, a patient who's on chemotherapy should be in his home, not in shul. He has the advantage of living in England that it could well be that there'll be a lot of acquired immunity by the general population, and then he'll be safe. But he personally should be taking those precautions. As I mentioned, when we began the shiur, I was happy that this is Skyped, because Skype or shiurim of that nature or other alternatives are ways of people still staying sane and wholesome in a protected environment. People need to be looking into these areas. There's a lot of good shiurim and activities which can be performed, and obviously anyone who is vulnerable, there's no question of him needing to daven with a minyan or the like. That's obvious. But we need to protect the vulnerable because one of the advantages of being, as we mentioned before, the right not to know, is many people don't know that they are vulnerable, and that's a good thing. But their carers or the people around them need to be aware of it and protect them. So as we mentioned, though, vulnerable adults need, on the other topic, a lasting power of attorney, which is a medical lasting power of attorney. I want to mention one other practical aspect, and that is that I was asked about opt-in and opt-out. I want to move on to that just because we only have a small amount of time left. I met with professionals in South Manchester from the organization, actually, which is trying to push organ donation. And I met with different experts, people who do it. And I heard from them firsthand how they ascertain that someone is dead and what precautions they take and at what point do they remove the organs. So this I could say categorically that there is no determination of what even a halachic opinion of brain dead would require. There might be, at most, they would argue the case that the person will die. That's not the same as he has died. Brain dead, even on a halachic level, would require that the brain stem, brain activity, the life support of the body is no longer being produced by the brain, no longer being monitored by the brain. That is not the case. That is definitively not the case. The testing is very minimal, to put it mildly. They knock on the forehead, they blow in the ear, they shine a light in the eyes, they check that the body is back to its regular temperature, and then they declare him dead. The people who take out the organs say they have an extra chumra, they wait 5 minutes. Therefore, there is no option for those who could potentially be an organ donor, which, by the way, is the opposite. Vulnerable adults are not organ donors. Young people are potentially, Rahman the son, organ donor. The people need to go either online and opt out, or I'll give you the phone number, though it's well known, but I'll read it out anyway. There's a phone number, 0300-123-2323. Lines are open 8 till 8, and people need to, for their families, opt out. Currently, the government or situations which I've been involved in are quite understanding and don't force organ donations. So obviously, this is not something which can be advertised easily, because even though the cultural fallout from this is arguably not as bad as people think it is, yeah, but definitely we have to know when to stay below the radar. Right? There's a very delicate balance between being part of society and knowing when to stand up for our position. Yeah? So that needs judgment. Yeah? But on an individual level, there's no question that everybody and for his family needs to opt out. Yeah? So let's just recap, and we'll close with that. First of all, the first thing is that Chazdi Hashem Taka people live longer. And the more that we're makitoy for that, that itself puts us in a position of deserving, if that's the right word, of being zoiche to rachmi shemayim. We have to appreciate that people are older. We have to realize that Rebbeinu Shem's given us an opportunity for growth, to realize that our bodies, ourselves, belong to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And all of these topics is be'etzem a schia for all of us. Chazal say that if a person is upset with something which goes wrong, he has to celebrate when things go right. In Chodesh Adar, one of the Divrei Tzomus HaKosom, the Ran learns Pshat. The Ran is in... not for now. The Ran learns Pshat that it means that just like they made the Takona of the Dalet Tanesim, that when this Simcha you celebrate, so they need to make a Takona of Purim. It means if we were upset when things were not good, we have to celebrate when they are good. Some learn the Goyim, if they made a Tainus at the time of Haman, so you have to celebrate with the Purim. Now, is that debate to celebrate or not depends on whether we had a tzaoka when things were not good. So this is doch the Chodesh leading into Chodesh Nissen, where we see the Yad Hashem. As we mentioned, that the Pshat of the Chinuch in Parashas Shoftim, that Yeshiv B'Seisa Elyon is the Shir which protects from Pegoim and Negoim. We live with Rebbeinu Shem. And we enjoy living with the Rebbeinu Shem. And we can use all these situations as an opportunity for our own growth and for our own Hakaras HaTayf and for realizing all the time that we're in good hands. We need to recognize that. We need to appreciate that. And the more that we're zeicha to say halal, in halal, as we've said before, we can say within the halal, on Hashem Yishiyono, on Hashem Atzlichono, the Rebbeinu Shem should only give us more opportunity to be zeicha, to be lahoydeis, or lahal, l'shimcha, agodil, al-nisecha, the fact that Rebbeinu Shem is together with us, the fact that the Am Hashem comes together, be'eis sorer, the fact that we're mitzvah will be zeicha to machduch, this matzv, and mitzvah, everyone should be gebenched with a freilicha yo.
Thank you.